have put in my spirit and my heart to tell your people. God, and I pray that your word will be received. I pray that the hearts have been broken up to receive your word. Bless us now as we go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. I want to thank the male chorus for singing out of the depths of their heart. Although there's not, there's just a trio. Ushers, you may take your seat. I was thinking this morning, when they got here after saw them here, Deacon Burton, Brother Skinner can relate to this, when it was just a trio and that's all it was of them, a four. And I kind of figured out to myself, Brother Charles and Brother Burke's here today, and both of them are healing, and so we understand that. And I understand today, after I was trying to figure out, I said, why is not any more of them here than that? And I know in my mind, and y'all know I think weird, I know why most of my other brothers won't come up here and sing. I know why. The ones that God have sent away from here, Reverend Jets, Pastor down in Uche Valley, somewhere down there. Ebro, Pastor Ash is up in Maryland somewhere. Reverend Nathaniel Allen is down in Bluntstown preaching today. And that one, this other one's gone, is Deacon Shepherd, and he's out in Louisiana somewhere. Those tiles I put in front of those names are what's probably stopping some of the rest of y'all from coming up here singing. Yeah, I'm going to step all over you. That's what's keeping you. Some of you that got the tiles behind your name, you ought to be up here singing. Then you tell me I can't sing. Neither can I. Somebody told me I couldn't preach, but I'm up here trying to preach. You heard Sister Lucy say when Deacon Jones first started, you couldn't hear him no matter how loud the mic was turned up. All the rest of you, you'd be scared of what God's going to do in your life. You don't have to lead a song. Just be up here.
Yes, sir.
It says if you take one step,
yes, sir,
he'll take two. And there's some of the rest of you that ought to be in the mass choir, too. Same thing goes for you. Get up off your stool or do nothing. And work for the Lord. You know, you just got to do something. Do something for God. Have he done anything for you?
There you go.
If he haven't done anything for you, don't do anything for him. And some of us don't witness in the house nor out of the house. I'm just saved and that's all that matters. Get up from there. Do something. Tell somebody. Yeah, I'm fussing. This is the fifth Sunday. Don't nobody come on the fifth Sunday but people that love God. All of them heathens are not here. Ain't nobody here but us. So y'all love him. So you need to tell somebody. Title of the message today, the shocking truth. The shocking truth. Brother Larry, you got my picture? Some of us, when things shock or strange things happen to us, the shocking truth is that Jesus Christ will not save you unless you do these next things we are going to say. Our message got 6 points. Three of them is on one part and three is on the other part. Unless you do these 6 things, Jesus Christ will not save you. Point number one, the shocking truth is he will not save you because you are separated from God. That's Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. You are separated from God, so God will not save you. You have to unite yourself with God in order to be saved. Sin is a barrier that separates people from God. The wicked are separated and are alienated from God due to their sin.
All right.
When people lie, steal, or abuse or oppress others, God has to turn his face away from them because of their terrible behavior. God does not like that. Why? Because God is holy. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He dwells in perfect righteousness. And he has love, joy, and peace. And you cannot come to him with like that. He will not tolerate wickedness or the mistreatment of others by any means, by thievery, by immorality, greed, covetousness, or any other oppressive acts. Anything you do that's contrary to the will of God, he will not save you. When people sin, they choose to live apart from God. For that reason, God turns his face away and will not answer their prayers. You can pray all you want to, but if you are living in sin, if sin is your lifestyle, God will not hear you. Not the way you want him to hear you. You want him to hear your prayers and let you continue to live in sin and nothing change. You do just like you want. You can't do that with God. Because the way I'm personally feeling right now, I wouldn't be standing here. Because of this God that I serve, he didn't promise me that everything was going to be all right. He didn't promise me that the people were not going to be contrary. He didn't promise me that everybody was going to do what was right. He didn't even promise me that what everything I did was going to be right. But he does not like it. He's in his mode today. No matter how religious people may be, or how strongly they profess to trust God, their wicked behavior alienates them from God. And listen, he will not respond to their pleas. Furthermore, the wicked will reap exactly what they sow. If you sow misbelief and lying, that's what you're going to receive. You have to know that God is not a God that you can deceive. You have to be truthful with God. If you're not truthful with him, that's okay. You're going to suffer the consequences. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The shocking truth is that there's not a one of us that have not sinned in our life. The Greek word for sin is hermatia, mean you miss the mark. They show you a big target and you shoot an arrow at it and you miss the whole target. That's what it is when you sin. When you sin with God, you miss the mark. You do not hit anything around God. The glory of God is God's standard for men. That's God's standard for men. We need to constantly be trying to reach that mark, to hit the target. His moral glory, his excellence, his splendor, his brilliance, his magnificence, his preeminence, his dignity and his majesty, and his grace. All of the things that God has leads to his grace. God's grace will bless us to get to the point where he can be what he would have us to be. When you serve this God, you're not gonna in the beginning like everything that you do. But God, you'll keep doing it. If you keep doing it in the power of God, you'll get to the place where you will look forward to doing what you're doing. If you don't come to Sunday school, try coming.
All right.
Men, if you can't sing and don't want to sing with the mass choir, sing with the male chorus. If you can't sing, keep singing.
After a while, somebody will walk up to you and tell you they're glad you're doing it. Because you will be encouragement to somebody else. You have to do what thus said the Lord. You must, we said it this morning in Sunday school, forget about yourself and think about what God have done for you. God have brought every one of us from a mighty long ways. He have blessed us beyond measure, and we still walk around and complain. Somebody said this morning in Sunday school, the nation of America have gotten beside themselves, beginning to think that whatever we want to do is all right. But I stop by to tell you that there is a God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ will not save you because you are separated from God. If man wishes to be at peace with God and live in God's presence, he must get sin out of his life. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me. All you got to do is open up your heart and invite Jesus to come in. Lord Jesus, come in and save my soul because I need a Savior. And if you do that, he will save your soul. Point number two, the shocking truth is that you are condemned by God at this moment. If you have not received him in your heart, you are condemned at this moment. If you don't believe it, look at St. John chapter 3, verse 18, part B. It says, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I didn't make that up, y'all. I read that in the book of John. If you don't believe, you are already condemned. We're talking about the shock and truth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen, you have to want to receive him as yourself. You're condemned at this moment, right now. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. If you don't believe, you're already condemned. That's what the word said. The unbeliever has not believed. The great sin of unbelief is that of neglect, that of ignoring, that of denying God, that of abusing others, and that is rejecting the Son of God. You cannot receive God's saving grace if you do not receive his Son. Listen, you're condemned already because you rejected his Son. The dignity of God's Son is ignored. The truth of God's Son is not believed. The goodness of God's Son is not embraced. The dearest thing to God's heart is denied. You have denied that you know his Son. You got to receive his Son. If you're going to take the Father, you got to have his Son. If you get one, you got the others. You can't have one without having the other. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You condemned already if you don't believe it. Don't nobody else have to condemn you if you don't believe the word of God. The word of God condemns you itself. It says it in his word. If you don't believe, you are already condemned. You condemned because you will not receive the Son of God. I stop by to tell somebody, you got to receive the Son of God. You can't make it without him. He's better than American Express. They tell you you can't leave home without it. You can't leave earth without the Son of God. You got to have him in your life. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. You condemn because you don't want to recognize him. You have to let him, you have to let the world know whose side you're on. You have to tell them about the saving grace of God. You have to receive that light, the light of Jesus Christ. The light has come into the world. The light came into the world to give light unto men, to enable men to walk out of darkness. Men don't like light. They like darkness because they don't like for people to know what they've done. They want to do it under the cover of night. But I stop by to tell you that with God, night is just like day. He sees it all. That's why he sent his Son. The world was walking around in darkness, but he sent his Son, Christ Jesus, to die for a wretch like me. If you don't believe it, the shocking truth is that you are already condemned. Point number three under this part, your punishment is certain. Without a doubt, you will be punished. The shocking truth is that God is a God And if you don't receive his son, there's punishment on the way. Brother Joe, I didn't say discipline. I said punishment. And there's a difference. When he disciplines me, he's trying to correct me. When he punishes me, it's because of something I've done wrong. There's a punishment that's going to last for all of eternity if you do not receive his son. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment's coming. What do you mean? Man dies and he dies once and only once. And there is no second chance. After you die, you don't have somebody to ask you a question. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's all over. It's a done deal. You have made up your mind, because while you were here, you did not receive him. You don't get a second chance. The judgment's coming. The judge will stand. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. And it's Jesus the Christ. He's going to judge you based on what you've done. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me. Here it is right here. This is the law book. This is the book of law that he's going to judge you by. And he's going to be looking at your life, how you have lived while you down here. No second chance. You won't have a second chance to accept him as Lord and Savior. You got your chance. If you don't know him today, I'm going to give you a chance to get to know him for yourself. You got to get to know him. Punishment is coming. I'm glad you asked. The punishment is that you will spend all of eternity away from God. And I'm glad you asked. Away from God is in hell, the second death. I'm willing to die one time, but I don't want to die the second time. The second time, I'll be cast in a flame of fire, and I'll be there forever, and I'll burn, and I'll burn, and I burn. Some of us complain about how hot it was this summer. I stopped by to tell you it wasn't hot this summer. It's going to be hotter than this in hell. You got to know that if you don't receive him as Lord and Savior, that judgment is coming. That judgment, you will spend it in hell. There is a hell, and hell is real. Don't let nobody fool you and tell you that's just something they made up. The Bible said that hell is real. It's real. And the hell wasn't made for the saints of God. It was made for the devil and his imps. If you decide to go to hell, you are an imp of the devil. You got to know this. You cannot keep living the way you're living if you're not living for Christ. Every one of us have done something wrong in our life. That's why Jesus came. He came to die for a wretch like me. And the blood of Jesus washed me clean. I'm a sinner. I used to be a sinner. I'm a used to be sinner. You ought to be a used to be sinner, because you don't sin anymore, because you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is a punishment that's coming. Romans chapter 6, verse 23a. For the wages of sin is death. Listen, nobody, not one of you in here that got a job, would work all next week if you were not going to get paid. Everybody that go on a job expect to get paid. You work, you want to get paid. Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 23a. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. If you want to get paid for your sin, just keep right on sinning and don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Consider this for me. The wages of sin is death. Sin deserves death because sin is acting against God. Sin is acting against the very nature of God. Sin strikes out against God. It attempts to tear down God's nature of purity, morality, of holiness and glory, of his justice and his righteousness, of his love and his grace. Sin is rebellion against God. It is rejecting God, ignoring God, disobeying God, denying God, refusing to live for God. If you do not receive him, you are rejecting God. You are telling him, God, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm not going to receive you. You are rejecting him. You must not reject him. True justice demand that sin receive its payment or his wages. For the wages of sin is death. It's death. So you work for it, so you must die. Since sin is so opposed to God's nature, and it is actually rebellion against God, as a laborer receives his wages, so sin receives its wages. Just as it would be unjust not to pay the laborer, it would be unjust not to pay sin. Everybody expect to get paid. If you sin, you're going to get paid for it. For the wages of sin is death. You remember the parable in the Bible when Jesus went out, the man that had the vineyard went out and he found some at this hour and he told him, go work and you're going to get paid. Some else went work a little hour, go pay. And all of them got paid the same thing. He promised them he would give them wages. And this is the same thing here with, for the wages of sin. God's telling us this. You're going to get paid if you sin. If you live in sin and die in sin, you're going to get paid in sin. That's just it. That's what your work is. I'm glad he made a way for me not to have to pay for my sin. Christ paid the price. He was a propitiation for my sin. He paid it in full. Nothing is left. If you receive Jesus Christ, your sins are paid for. Because Jesus Christ shed his pure, rich, red, unpolluted blood. And he did it over 2,000 years ago and is still saving. The blood has not lost its power. Even though they may want you to take the word blood out of songs and hymns, the blood have not lost its power. It still has the power to save. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. But the gift of God. Sin is against the sovereign majesty of the universe, against God himself. Now listen, now I thought this was real interesting to me. Sin is not against Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or Moses, or none of them. It's against God. You are rebellion against God. You are rebellion against the one that said, that created, that breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life. We are rejecting him. I'm so glad that he did not allow death to take me in my sin. Because I was rejecting him. But yet he loved me. I think it was last week we preached on while I was yet a sinner. He died for me. Sin must receive its just wages. Sin must die. It must be banished from the presence of God. If it's banished from the presence of God, it will be okay. Where's my note? I don't want you to miss this. Point number one, I told you that the shocking truth is you are separated from God. The shocking truth is you are condemned by God at this moment. The shocking truth, your punishment is certain. Then I put a big word in there. However, Now, these points you need to look at for however. However, I'm okay because Jesus Christ died for me. That's point number four. However, Jesus Christ died for me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. That's why my mind was trying to get ahead of me. But he commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Point number four is Christ died for me. For me. On my paper I got for you, but I want to say for me. If y'all just let me say he died for me. We were sinners. Yet God proved his love for us. God is always showing and proving his love to us. You remember what I told you back up there about those other points? What we've just finished talking about. That's where we were. That's where we used to be. But however, Jesus Christ died for me. While I was a sinner, that God proved his love for me. This is the unbelievable love of God, that he stooped down to save a sinner. He stooped down to save those that were against him. He stooped down to save his enemy, those that were sinning and against him. He allowed his only begotten son, that while I was still walking in my sin, Christ died for me. God loves us. He proved that because of what he did for us. That's why sometimes the people that you love the most seem to treat you the worst, but you still love them. You don't stop loving them. That's the way Christ have done us. He loved us even though we were living in sin. We were wicked. We were doing everything we thought we were big enough to do, but Christ yet loved us. He proved his love by giving his only begotten son to die for us. Think of the enormous price God paid in proving his love. He gave him up to die for those of us that were unworthy and useless. At the time that Christ died for us, we were not any good to him. We were stoned against him. We were rebelling against him, but yet he looked at us and saw us and died anyway, because he knew that we needed to be saved. The ungodly, he died for the ungodly and the sinful, the wicked and the depraved. These are the worst sinners and outcasts that we can imagine. If you don't believe it, and I'm not going to try to talk about this one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Go back up and think about the three we said before. However, he loved us enough to allow his son to die for a wretch like me. We talking about the shocking truth. Point number five, and point number two under however. Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way. There are two doors going to the hall out there. There are two ways to get out of here through those doors. But there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Some people may be looking for another way, but I stop by to tell you there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ, because he said it in the verse that I just read you. I am the way. I'm glad you asked. The way, there are difference between pointing the way to a particular place than taking somebody by the hand and leading him or her there. Jesus Christ didn't tell us that he was going to tell us how to get to heaven. He came down here and lived on earth 33 years, walking around down here among us, and he showed us how to get there. See, that's what needs to happen to us sometime. You need to take somebody by the hand and lead them to Jesus Christ. You need to just get them and say, come on, this is the way you go. And while you're going, they'll be watching you the way you walk. Deacon Jones, what you need to do is turn around here and look at me. Put your foot in the same steps where I step mine. See, when you walk in Jesus' footsteps, you can't go wrong. But listen, Jesus Christ didn't do what I just did, or he didn't stop. He just kept right on walking the way that we ought to walk. He didn't just tell me how to get there. He showed me the way. Thank you, Deacon Jones. He showed me the way because he came down here and lived. He didn't live in a bubble. He lived out there among the people, and he did not sin. That's not telling me how to live. That's showing me how I need to live. Brothers and sisters, that's why sometimes I tell you, hide and watch me. See how I'm living. Then you will know how to walk, because I'm trying to walk just like God would have me to walk. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. The way means there's not another way. You can't get there no other way. You can't get there through the pastor. You can't get there through the deacon. You got to go through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody else can tell you the truth, but they cannot be the truth. To be the truth, it means you are truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth. He is the truth. If you got Jesus Christ, you have what it takes. He'll make you live a truthful life, but you will not be the truth. Only thing about you will be true is the Jesus Christ that they see within you. If you see truth in me, it's because Jesus Christ is living in my life. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. If you live your life according to Jesus Christ, everything will be all right. Your life will be just like his. He is the embodiment of all of those things that we just talked about, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the communicator of all of these things. Whatever Jesus Christ communicated to us is the truth. Nothing but the truth. They said nothing but the truth. So help me, God, if you live the way Jesus Christ would have you to live, and you live in the truth, you will have everything that you need. If you study your Bible and you make sure you understand and live according, if you have a Thompson Chain Reference, according to the red writing in the Bible, you will live the truth, because Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way, and he is the life. There's no other way you can go. You can't get there without him. You need him in your life. There is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. There's no other way. He's the only way. Some places you go, there are a whole bunch of different ways to get there, but ain't but one way to get to glory, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door of the sheep cove. You can't get in unless you come through me. You got to have him. You can't go without him. Don't leave here if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, he liberates you. He takes all of the shackles off of you. He takes all of your sins. He makes you free. When you receive Jesus Christ, you become lighter. Seem like you can do more. Doesn't take as long to do stuff when you're doing it for God. You might not think you can do it, but if you say, I'm trusting in your Lord, if you tell him, I don't know how to do this, I need your help, he'll come by to see about you. And I'm a living example of that. When I got here this morning, I didn't feel like I'm feeling now, but right now, I don't need nothing but Jesus Christ. He's all I need. He's my everything. He's all that I need. I'm glad that he stopped by to see about me. That's why I preach this gospel. I don't ever know what he's going to do with me, but I told him I'm his instrument. I said, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm leaning and depending on you. Jesus, I need you. I thought I needed you yesterday, but I need you today because I'm living right now. Jesus Christ, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. You're my life. Without you, I'm nothing. For God I live, and for God I die. He's all that I need. If you got Jesus, you got enough. Listen, point number six, Jesus Christ saves, and don't y'all leave me on this one. Jesus Christ saves you without your help. You can't help yourself be saved. That's why some of you are not saved today. You try to save yourself. I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to start doing it. No, you better talk to God and let God use you with what he wants you to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Listen to me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I just told you, you can't save yourself. Jesus Christ saves you without your help. You can't help yourself be saved. No matter how holy you are, no matter who your mama and your daddy is, you can't save yourself. Grandmama can't save you. You need Jesus Christ. He'll save you without your help. He's already paid the price. All you got to do is cash the check. He's given you a ride into heaven. All you got to do is ride. Salvation is the work of God. It is of God's grace and God's grace alone. You cannot save yourself. God has to do it. You have to allow Jesus Christ to save you. And don't y'all get too religious on me with me using the word Jesus and God. They are the same. God the Father, the same. All three of them are one. So that's me right there. I don't want you to leave me right there. Salvation is free. It's God. It's the gift of God. It is by grace alone that man is saved. Man can do nothing whatsoever to save himself. Salvation is received by faith. Man must believe just what God says and accept his word. Accept his free offer of salvation. You can't pay for it. You can't buy it. You can't do enough good. You can't do enough work. You can't sing enough. You can't preach enough. You can't pray enough. Jesus Christ have already saved us. We are saved by God's grace. Grace means the favor and kindness of God. There's a uniqueness about God's favor and grace. His favor and kindness are given despite the fact that we are undeservable. We don't deserve it because we have sinned against him. We have done wrong. Unless you receive Christ and you have nothing to do with it, you just make yourself a container to receive him and allow him to enter into your life to save your soul. When you do that, you've done all you can do. Lord, here I stand, a sinner, a wretch undone. Will you save me? I don't know what to do. That's why I love him so much. I come to preach and teach this word, and I don't know what I'm going to do. All I do is study. Study. God, help me to do like you would want me to do. I've even tried to change the way that I do, but I can't, because this is the way God wants me to be. And if God gets the glory, I have to stand up and say, God, to God be the glory. I'm glad you're using me, because he could use a dog out there to do the same thing, because he's God. And because of his grace, I've done nothing to receive his grace. I was a sinner, a wretch undone. In my head, and some of y'all have heard me say this before, and I truly believe it. I truly believe in the yesterdays of my life, I could explain this word better than I can now in my head. But that's where it stopped, that's where it started, and that's where it stayed, in my head. It was not in my heart. When it got into my heart, hey, it changes. Because then you stop trying to talk and win debates. You start trying to live and win souls. I remember days sitting in, it was Hamlet Hall at Lane College. I lived in room 219. A preacher lived in that corner. A preacher lived right across from me. They were all around me. And we'd have discussions all the time. And most of the time, me and my roommate would win the discussion. And wasn't going to nobody's church. We'd go to Vesper when we had to go. We was at a Methodist college. We had to go to Vesper on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And Wednesday night at 6 o'clock because we lived on the dormitory. And the dormitory mother would come around and make sure you're gone. If you didn't go, you had to leave your room. So we would, the Vesper was right down the next building, so we would go there. Oh, but if I get a chance now, I'll set up one so everybody else will have to come. Because God, the word got up from up here and went into my heart, into my heart. I remember one of the first classes that I took as far as studying the Bible, it was the life of Paul. The life of Paul. And you know why I took that one? Because it was a requirement to graduate. Oh, if I would have had any sense. If I would have had any spiritual insight. I would have been taking all those courses that they offer. They had a full degree in religion or in a bachelor's degree. Didn't have to be a preacher, but you could study the Bible all the way through. Oh, but if I could go back. But see, that's why I said in point one, you only get one chance. I got another chance because God let me keep living. I didn't wait till after I was dead to want another chance because Jesus Christ saved without my help. I can't help him save me. I don't know what it would take to save me. I didn't know what to do, but he did. He came down and sacrificed himself for a wretch like me. Jesus Christ does not need your help in order to get saved. All you need to do is open up your heart and let him come in. Just like you cannot enter a building without going in the door. You have to go in the door in order to get in the building. You have to open up the doors of your heart and let Christ in your heart and he will save you. But you have to open up and let him in. He doesn't need your help to save you. But you have to open up your heart to let him in to your heart so he can save you. He died for us. He bore our sins. And the punishment was upon him on the cross of Calvary. God, when we receive Christ, God takes our faith and count it as the death of Jesus Christ. God have to love us. He have to love us. Because if we receive his son, he's taken, imputed. Imputed is the word. He imputes my sin onto Christ. Christ bears all of my sins. He takes my sin away from me. Then God receives me as perfectly clean because my sins were on him on the cross. I do believe it with everything I believe. That's why there was an earthquake when that cross hit the ground because the weight of all the sin. And no, it didn't have to be nobody else's sin but mine. It made the earth do an earthquake because it was so heavy on the ground because sin has weight with it. Sin will weigh you down. If you don't believe it, you go back and look at some of your pictures when you were in sin and look at them after you got out of sin. Those that you were in sin, hey, if you like most of us, you look miserable. Look at yourself now because sin weighs you down. It does stuff to you. Because you are not the way God, you are made in the image of God and God is not sin. So sin has a tendency to wear on you. Most of y'all can't say this, but since I'm older than most of y'all, I can say this. I look at some of my buddies that's a little bit younger than me. Yeah, they look older than me. I do believe that statement that we make about God, the Holy Spirit sealing us, seals us, he preserves us. He preserves you.
You don't age as bad. You don't look as bad. You don't feel as bad. You don't act as bad. Things you used to do. If you got a chance to, and nobody would know it, you couldn't do it. Because the Holy Spirit has preserved you and you know who you belong to. What you do is going to hurt Christ. When you were a child, if you knew you were going to do something that was going to hurt your parents, you didn't do it. You might think you would have done it, but you wouldn't do it if you really knew it was going to hurt them. Well, if you just said, well, it might not hurt them, you go ahead and do it. But if you knew, if you are a child of God and you sin, it's going to hurt the heart of God. You are a bad representation of God because Jesus Christ did not sin while he was down here on earth. Well, I'm at my conclusion now. Now that you have the truth, the decision is yours whether you repent or not. Acts chapter 3, verse 19a. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repentance is when a person admits his guilt to God and sincerely desires to turn from his or her wicked ways. Jesus Christ did everything that was needed to pay for your sin, to take you to heaven. You don't have to do anything else but receive him. That is the reason Christ came to earth, and that is why he is called Savior. You cannot help save yourself by being baptized, by attending church, by prayer, by taking the Holy Communion, by tithing, or by trying to lead a good life. In order to be saved, you must completely trust in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God, because you cannot save yourself. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2b says, behold, now is the acceptable time to, and behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't need to wait. If you know that you are not saved, you do not need to wait. Remember, the shocking truth. Shocking truth number one, you are separated from God. Shocking truth number two, you are condemned by God at this moment. Number three, your punishment is certain. However, Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ is the only way. However, Jesus Christ saves without your help. If you get these in order, all of the last three will erase the first three. If you receive the last three, then the first three are erased because you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. With that, we'll extend an invitation. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the shocking truth, he will not save you unless you do some things yourself. Will you come to Christ just as you are? Don't try to wait till you get everything straight. You will never get everything straight. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit will help you to clean yourself up. But you first must make a commitment to Christ. When you make that commitment, he'll take you just as you are. And he will clean you up. But you have to come to him. Will you come? Come to Christ just as you are. You don't have to try to change. He'll take you. But you got to come. Will you come? Oh, I beg you, will you come? The shocking truth is that he'll save you. But you got to come. You have to make a commitment to come to Christ. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.